This word, I could talk for 400 years, so try to do my best in a short time. I'm going to try to tie in my walk for the last 21 years with it. It's called flex and make the best. Flex, adjust, bend, move. Before the Lord, I was not flexible at all. I was one of the most unflexible people in the world. So the Lord had to bang me up a little bit and make the best of the situation, improvise. Let me read. See, go to Habakkuk 3:17-18. Oh, that's right. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the oil may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, I will go and lose my mind and get high or go yell at my wife or beat up my kids. No, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, when I give words, the Holy Spirit tries to tell me little things. Well, he says it, I just got to comprehend it and how to do it. Like he was showing me things while we were worshiping, how to tie in. But last night, he wanted me to make sure, he asked you guys, have you lost the joy of your salvation? Are you duty bound? You have so much responsibility, and or life is just sucking you dry, the enemy attacks you, that you lose your joy? Well, if you lost your joy, you lost your strength. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's good for us to praise God. We can't add to God and we can't take away from him. It's all about our perspective. The enemy wants to come and twist our perspective. God, what's wrong? God's holding out on me. Why would he let this person die? God could step in right now and change my whole world, but he's letting me live like a pauper. No, rejoice in God. Rejoice in the good times you had. Somebody died, right? All our loved ones die. We're going to be miserable and kick rocks and take Percocets and sit in my room all day because my loved one died? No, I'm going to thank the Lord for that time I had with that person. And if they're saved, I'm really going to be thankful because I get to see them again. Have you lost the salvation, the joy of your salvation? It's so easy because the more you grow, the Lord gives you responsibility after responsibility and kids and pressure and life and the enemy attacking you that we lose our joy. Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes. Praise the name of the Lord. Some say, bless the name of the Lord. How do you bless the Lord? By praising him. Well, Mark, you don't know my situation. I may not, but I know the Word of God. The Word of God is above your situation. Amen. That self-pity don't work. Self-pity does not work. The only pity party when you throw, the only person who shows up at your pity party is Satan. And he will kick you while you're down. And you'll put spirits of suicide on yourself, depression. Bless the name of the, we have to train ourselves. The Word of God says, train yourselves unto godliness. You know, when something bad happens, praise the Lord. I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Bad news, praise God. Why? Because we have hope. We have hope. There's always light at the end of the tunnel. The Lord can restore anything. The Word of God says, by Jesus' wounds, I'm healed. Now, we might not like the process. We have to go through it, right? But that's the process to become more like Christ. There's going to be seasons where we get pruned, where everything we're making gets cut back. What am I going to do? Not serve God? I'm not going to serve God because I'm not making money like I used to. I'm not serving God because my wife don't talk to me. I'm not serving God because my health is bad. No, praise him more. Go after him more. In case I miss it, the theme of this grateful, thankful, being content, having a good attitude, keeping your eyes on Christ, being pliable, bendable, flex, serve, quick to obey, know the Father's will, die to self, rejoice in the Lord. Anything is subject to change. Anything is subject to change. Wait on the Lord and humility. Humility. Humility is so important. I used to have this goofy teacher when I went to West Catholic. Every day he'd whip out this big board. This is today's agenda. And whip it out. This is today's agenda. Well, that ain't so easy with the Holy Spirit. You may be doing one thing one day and something totally out but the next. We're led by the Spirit of God, not an agenda, not your chore list, not your YouTuber, not all people, but we're led by the Spirit of God. We are children of God. We are led by His Spirit. Philippians 4, 11, 13. I was out of work for 5 years. I'm making a tiny bit of money. I had to live without having much. And the Lord showed me, Mark, if you can't be happy with nothing, you're not going to be happy with everything. So before the Lord really blesses your life, He will strip you down. And He had to show me the importance of prayer. I always wanted to be the big shot, be the guy who helps you, be the guy that does this for you, be the guy that does that for you. Not in pride, just I like to be used and I want to be doing stuff for the Lord. But in that season, the Lord told me, Mark, you praying for that person is 1,000 times better than doing anything for him. Because God don't need Mark. Remember that. Put your name there. God don't need you. I used to work with this person and he was having financial problems. And he couldn't, he says he was Christian, but I don't think he was born again. He couldn't afford his daughter to go to finish out high school. She did a year or two, and they were running low on money, and he didn't think that they could provide for her. I wanted to be the big shot, step up and bless them, and hey, take the money and get your daughter through high school, but I didn't have it like that. So I prayed. A few weeks later, he told me how somebody out of the blue stepped up and paid for her whole high school tuition. So a lot of times God has us in people's lives to be their priest. We're their priest. They may not know the Lord like we know the Lord. And we're supposed to be praying for them, covering them. Because, yeah, it would be great if everybody gets saved right now. God hit a button. Everybody in the world gets saved. No. There's a time and a procedure for everything. And the Bible says no man could come to the Father unless the Lord draws him. So you got to watch your evangelism. You got to watch you working on people. Sometimes we're working on people in vain. The Lord's not even drawing them yet, and you're wasting your time. So, Philippians 4, 13, 11. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Unless you're married with a whole bunch of kids. I know how to be a base, and I know how to have a bound. Meaning, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to be brought high. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Pause. We got to learn how to fast. We shouldn't run out of church to eat. We got to learn how to, all right, my appetite is not going to cause me to run out of here. When you fast, you develop self-control. And you shouldn't be led by your hunger. Oh, do you mean hangry people? Everybody hear that word hangry? When you get angry and hungry? Boy, girls get hangry. I hate to tell you. Girls get hangry, boy. They get so mad that they're hungry. Then once they eat, they're right. We shouldn't let our hunger control our emotions. Are you serious? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And all, I mock a little bit, in the Greek means all. I love when people go into Greek for no reason. Like, well, it's the same thing. You just said the same thing in a different way. But I'm a scholar. I know more than everybody. You can do all things. When you start growing, see, go to 1 Peter 4:2. When you start growing, you don't care about if you're on Amazon, eBay, whatever store you worship, Target. You don't care about your sneakers being on sale. Like, that stuff's good. It has its place to be blessed. God blesses us. But as you grow, we no longer live for passion or lust. We are here, I'm doing God's will or I'm not. That's bottom line. This is either God's will or it's not. What I'm doing here is either God's will or it's not. If it's God's will, I'm going to make the best of it. There's going to be times you have an overflow. There's going to be times where you're barely making it. But I guarantee if you're serving God, you always have enough. I would rather be serving God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, with $1 in my pocket, than be outside of the Lord with $1 billion. Because whatever you have with God, it's always enough. It's always enough. I can testify that for 21 years, I've always had enough. But our flesh wants more and more and more. We never have enough. Daniel 3:17 and 18. Be content. The word of God says, be content in what you have, because he never leaves you or forsakes you. In other words, we're worrying about what I got. I used to have 1,000. Now I have 500. I had 10,000. Now I have this. I had a car and I got no. Don't worry about none of that silliness. Be concerned. Is God with me or not? He never leaves you or forsakes you. That's all that matters. Don't worry about, well, I got this doctor, that doctor's good, doctor is bad, doctor's the worst. I trust in God's grace. I trust in his favor. If you could get up a donkey to talk, he could use anybody. God can use anybody. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we trust in Lord our God. The Bible says, the horses can prepare for battle, but victory is with the Lord. Sometimes we overdo it, and we overanalyze, and we over this doctor and this, and I need this for that, and that for this, and we over psychoanalyze things. It shows we're not relying on the Lord. We're relying on these things. We're relying on these things. Now, when I first got saved, this is one of my favorite scriptures, because I used to love money, boy. I went to jail for money. I got 60 months in federal prison for money. This is let me give you a storyline real quick. The three Hebrew boys did not bow down to the golden image. Money is good, but do not bow down to it. Don't make money your God. Example, the Lord wants us here tonight. Well, I could have did a job at 12 o'clock and made a couple $100. Well, where does the God want you at? He wants you worshiping with your brothers and sisters. And if they didn't bow down, they're going into fire. See, most of us, we go into fire because we're idiots. We make stupid mistakes. We say stupid things. But some of us actually go into fire. Like Peter says, we suffer for righteousness' sake. But whatever the case is, you're going into fire. You're going in. If that's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. He will deliver us from your hand. Oh, yeah, God's going to deliver me. O king, but if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image of what we have set up. So in other words, if God delivers me or if he doesn't deliver me, I'm still not going to bow down. I'm still not going to take this prescription because I know the doctor might have gave it to me, but I know God didn't give it to me. So I'm not bowing down to anything, and you're going to pay. So why would the Lord put me in a furnace? It's funny because he gave me this word. I'm going to be 48 soon, and I never heard this word before. Forged. Have I heard that word before? Not like forging a check. I forged money for it. I'm only kidding. Forged. Shaping metal by heating and hammering. Boom. Who's getting hammered by the Lord? Boom. Getting banged into shape. Right? Anthony sent me this really good short on YouTube, like about Malachi going into fire. And this lady wanted to know what refining foreign was like. And it was one of the coolest things I heard in a while. So she started hanging out with this non-Christian about refining gold and silver and stuff. Long story short, she asked him, how do you know when it's time to get the gold or medal? Because you can overdo it, too. You can overdo anything. He said, when I see my image in the coin, that's when I take it out. I was like, wow, that's a non-believer saying that. So who's God banging us into? Christ, right? Is anybody here married, right? So we have to become one with our wives. And that's hard. That is the hardest ministry in the world for me. It is harder than having seven kids. Becoming two, becoming one. Technically, Christ did it at the cross. They call that positionally. But in reality, the Holy Spirit bangs us. You look like my son? Are you acting like my son? Do you got the attitude of my son? Do you got the peace of my son? Do you got the joy of the Lord? Keep a good attitude. It's so important to have a good attitude. Because a good attitude shows, it shows that you're trusting God. Praise God. I say it all the time. Look back on your week. How many times did you say praise God? Not when your Christian fellows are around and you're trying to be all spiritual. I'm talking about when nobody is around and people that can't judge your spirituality. Say, praise God. Everybody throw me in the furnace. Praise God. I'd rather be in the furnace being obedient to the Lord than not in the furnace grieving the Holy Spirit. I do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Keep your eyes on Christ. When did Peter fall? When he took his eyes off Christ. And notice it got seven times hotter, right? You remember that? It got seven times hotter in the furnace. So, I don't know about you guys, but when I pray, usually everything always gets worse. Did I speak in some language? Did I speak in Ethiopia or something? Did I say something wrong? And he has to remind me. Like, I don't care how long you've been serving the Lord. We got to be reminded of things. You got to be reminded of things. No, your faith is getting tested. It says in Peter, too. Our faith is getting tested. So don't be discouraged when your health gets worse, when your money gets worse, when your marriage gets worse, when your body's falling apart. Be encouraged. Because that's where the Lord is testing your faith. Are you keeping a good attitude? The Holy Spirit loves exposing our motives. All right, you gave. Why'd you give? All right, you went to church. Why'd you go? Okay, you like to help out. Why'd you help out? Not that he don't know. God knows everything. God knows. He's showing us. Confession, we have to confess. It's the order God had. To repent, you got to know you. How can I repent of something? I don't even know what I'm doing. And then you're not getting delivered until you repent. So it all goes hand in hand. I got to confess it to be clean. I got to repent to get my mind right. Then sooner or later, deliverance comes. The real you comes out in a fire. All the makeup comes off in a fire. The Lord is making diamonds. Diamonds got to go through some fire. Fire. Torment of fire sometimes. For that dross, the flesh, all that negative stuff on us. But if you're in the fire, where's my scripture at? Ezekiel, go to Isaiah 43:2. Don't focus on the fire. Don't focus on the double-minded king who's once your buddy, now he's not your buddy. Did you ever work under like somebody double-minded? Once you're the greatest man in the world, the next you're the worst person in the world. Jealousy is a killer. Jealousy will ruin anything. He's got it. Praise God. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Praise God. So what do? Keep your eyes on him. Don't focus on what you have, what you should have. I'm 48 now. I should have 10 cars. I should have 40 properties. I should have at least $1 million. Don't think like that. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Praise the name of the Lord. He can restore anything. God can restore anything. All right, let's go to Acts 16:25-31. So is the Lord making you pliable? Is he bending you? Is he shaping you? Is he hammering you? Is he heating you? I'm trying not to say the scriptures I said last week, but it's going to be hard not to. I try to say the same thing in a different way. Lord, I don't want to be that guy repeating himself. I don't want to be Ronnie Repeat, Lord, please. But midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were in prison. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prisons was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Praise God in the prison. Worship God in the prison. It's so easy to get discouraged. Watch the news for 10 minutes, you get discouraged. Focus on your situation, you get discouraged. Look at your bank account, get discouraged. It's so easy. But when you're in the prison, right, this is with Paul and Silas. This is with their secrets. They weren't there for themselves. I'm gonna talk about the story. I don't want to read the whole thing. But when them doors open, they stayed. They stayed. Then the jailer thought they left. So he decided he was going to kill himself. But Paul screamed out, no, don't kill yourselves. We're here. Because he was accountable for them guys. So once they showed themselves to the jailer, you know what the jailer says? What must I do to be saved? So the earthquake wasn't for them. The doors opening weren't for them. They were there for somebody else. They were there bringing the gospel. Sometimes people don't come to church. We got to bring the church to people. So if they seen Paul in there pulling his hair out, whining, throwing hissy fits, this ain't flaming, Jan. I was a Pharisee. I had money. What are you giving me here? I don't eat this junk. They were praising God, and the jailer seen the joy of the Lord on them. The jailer seen the peace of God on them. And the jailer was like, I want some of that. I want some of that. And not only did Paul get used by God to save them, the jailer took Paul and Silas back to his family, and his whole house got saved. Because Paul was unselfish. That door opened, and he didn't run. If that door opened up, I would have been gone, boy. Out around, out there like Speedy Gonzalez, so quick. Born later, see ya. But Paul knew. When you know God, you know his will. You have to get close to the Lord to know his will. You do not want to marry the wrong person. You do not want to work at the wrong job. You do not want to be at the wrong church. You do not want to be doing ministry with the wrong people. Romans 12:1. Ezekiel. Flex. And make the best. Make the best of it. You're in jail. Praise God. Worship God. Thank God. It's not about me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Dead to sin, alive to God. Dead to self, alive to Christ. Dead to the flesh, alive in the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. I'm serving him. I'm worshiping him. Dying to self will bring fire. A lot of people are like, man, I should be on fire for God. What happened? I used to be on fire for God. I'm going to tell you what happened. You stop being a sacrifice. God's not going to give you no fire for no sacrifice. You'll get that fire when your life becomes a sacrifice. And I've been in jail. I've been in halfway houses. I've been in some bad situations. Almost broke my neck out of work for 5 years. And serving God is one of the best things you could do in all that. I'm not talking about just going to church and running out, reading your word and do whatever. I'm talking about serving God in here. Because when you serve God in here and in here, you don't think about your nonsense. You don't think about your crazy kids. You don't think about all your problems all day long. When you serve God, you're his. And your bill is his bill. Your health is his health. Your mind is his mind. When you serve God, he's responsible for you. He's not a taskmaster. Of course, it's tough love. Of course, he's going to throw you in the furnace. Of course, he's going to throw you in prison. But that's for you to become more like Christ. It's funny. We all pray around each other. We say the cutest prayers. Hey, Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. Then you lose all your friends, lose your job, lose your hair. Your whole life falls apart. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? Because you pray you want to be like Christ. He got mocked, scorned, his beard ripped out, took a beating. And what do we expect? What do we expect? No servant's greater than his master. If that's what he got, that's what I'm getting. His friends left him. One of his friends betrayed him. But he still walked in love. Can you do all that and still walk in love? They talk about your church. Oh, they invite you over to the house. Praise God. Sometimes God's rejection by people is your protection. They knew I needed help. Why didn't they help me? Well, that's not how God wanted to help you. He wanted to help you in a different way. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Walk in love. Don't hold nothing against nobody. It's so easy to go through stuff and start blaming people. So why didn't they do this? And how come they didn't do that? Naked. Don't fall into that. Forgive quickly. Forgive real quick. I remember me and my wife, we got a two-bedroom apartment with like three or four kids. We were trying to get away from South, where we were living at, and I had hurt my neck and I wasn't working, and we were getting evicted. I got the eviction notice. I'm thinking God's going to come through. God's just going to throw some money in my bank account. No, he didn't. Sheriff came, evicted me. I had to go live with our grandmom, and there were like, what, almost 20 people in the house, Joe? Went from a two-bedroom apartment with a house. People were getting high in there. I wasn't pleased at all. It was one of the worst situations in my life. About six months, it was one of the worst times. But I had to adjust. And every time I tried to get a job or thought about it, the Lord would sit me down like, nope, Mark, you're here. I'm burying you here. This is where I'm burying you at. Don't try to do nothing. Don't try to go out of my will. Just sit here and make the best of it. Right? We got Joseph. Poor Joseph. This guy. He talk about humility. This is one of the best types of Christ. He went into the pit, Potiphar's house, prison, then the palace. And it's all peas, too. It's funny how you got the pit, you got Potiphar's house, you got prison, and you got the palace. But in all that, what I see in Joseph's life is pressure. Pressure. You think there's pressure in the pit, just you not knowing when you're getting out? You could possibly die in this thing. Then you're in there thinking, man, my own family handed me in this pit? Or, like, what is going on? You talk about rejection. You talk about betrayal. Then you finally make it out, and you go to this Potiphar guy, and his wife tries to sleep with you, and you suffer more for doing the right thing. But you know what I like about Joseph? And the Bible always says it, and Jacob says it all the time, too. God is with Joseph. God is with you. God is with you. Don't focus on what's going wrong. Don't focus on yourself. Don't focus on the Lord. And everything Joseph did came to gold. Everything he did, he prospered. And God has to put us in a fire for us to grow. He has to. I don't see. Did I give you Proverbs 18:12? We always quote the first end of this. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. In other words, pride comes before the fall. Pride goes before the fall. But the second half, we always forget. And before honor is humility. So before the Lord honors a lot of things in your life, he's going to humble you. Humble pie, morning, noon, night. Humble pie, morning, noon, and night. Thank you, Lord. He says he gives grace to the humble. You think Joseph had some grace? Yeah, he had some grace. He had some favor on his life. It took years for his prayers to manifest. Coming out of jail, I didn't realize the Lord was going to give me a wife so quick. But I pray, usually the Lord takes forever and a day. I'm like, Lord, you got to get me a wife when I get out of jail, Lord. And he did. It's not even 3 months, I think, something like that. So I had to adjust from being in jail with a bunch of animals to being married. And she had a daughter when I met her. I can't walk around the house like Tarzan no more. I got a little 8-year-old girl. You got to adjust and bend and flex to the situations you're in. Don't trust in doctors. Don't trust in lawyers. Don't trust in money. All that is false hope. Your lawyer will tell you the greatest news in the world because he wants your money. As soon as you get your money, he'll tell you what's really going on, boy. He'll tell you pie in the sky. He'll tell you the greatest thing. But once you pay him, we're like, nah, I don't know, buddy. You'll hope you're praying. Put your trust in the Lord. Samson, right? He was getting handed over by Judah to the enemy. They were handing over Samson because they wanted Samson. Samson was starting a lot of trouble. Samson gets a bad rap, but he did a lot of great things. He was very creative, too. I like Samson. And he did repent at the end. But Judah handed him over. Judah, we all know, means praise God. Like, A, don't hand your praise over to the enemy. Praise God. Praise him in the storm. Praise him in the fire. Pray him in the lion's den. Praise him everywhere you go. If you don't have no worship music, just sing what you know. Praise him in the storm. I'm telling you, it's good for you. But that's not the end of the story. There was a jawbone of a donkey, Samson seen. And he's seen that. And he's like, he picked it up and killed 1,000 of the enemy. Like, there's seasons where you can't use what you want to use. You can't use people that you want to. You can't be around certain people. The Lord wants you to use what's in front of you. Use what is in front of you. Pliable, adjustable. Make the best of it. Make the best of your situation. Good attitude. Check your attitude. I like to say to myself, check your attitude. Check your oil. Check your motives. Oil meaning is what I'm doing. Is this spirit led or am I doing this in the flesh? Is Mark doing this is the flesh doing it or is self doing it or is the Lord leading me to do it? Just last year, I roofed 10 years total, 4 years the first time, the second time 6 years, and I lost my job, as I said 1,000 times. So I had to go from being on a roof, either freezing, sweating, or unemployment 5 months, and they fought me on that, and I won, thank God, because God's a just God and God's a righteous God. But I became pastor in December, and my life is totally different. Like, Lord, why would you have me on a roof in the fire and the bad weather and around a bunch of unbelievers? Now I'm all about unbelievers all the time. My life totally changed. Your identity is in Christ, in Christ alone. It's not in a color, your neighborhood, your favorite sports team. Your identity is in Christ, not the drugs you take. Certain drug addicts, they're proud of the drugs they take. I take benzos. Oh, I take her. I take crack. Yeah, I'm great. Their identity is in their drugs that they use. No, our identity is in Christ, in him alone. Christ alone is my identity. In Christ, I'm born again. In Christ, I'm God's child. In Christ, my situation don't define me. My problems don't define me. Christ defines me. I guess that's it. It's kind of early, though. I guess, did I start early? I forgot to look and see what time I stopped. Praise God. If you need prayer, come up. But what really helps me is keeping a good attitude. Keep a good attitude. Thank you, Lord. You know, help us to improvise. The wise improvise. Help us to throw our agenda out the window. And to be led by your spirit. For years, some of us were led by our emotions. We've been led by doctors. We've been led by lawyers, Lord. We've been led by money, but we want to be led by your Spirit. We want to be led by your grace. The Word of God says that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of grace. And when you go before us, Lord, you grace out that space so we could seek your face. So help us to have faith, Father. Help us to flex and bend and move and have a good attitude and not become a nagging wife. Your word says it's better to live on a corner roof than live with a nagging wife or a contentious wife. And that's not just for women, Lord. We're the bride of Christ. And sometimes we could find ourselves nagging you. We could find ourselves nagging each other. Lord, help us not to be fault finders or nitpickers when the flame goes up. Help us to totally trust in you with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge you, and you will guide our path. You're our GPS. You're our director. You're our help. Father, I pray to all of us here, Lord, that we flex and make the best in Jesus' name.